Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2? I'll be reading today verses. I'll start with verse 11 and then read on to through verse 15. Paul writes, "Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that even right now as we look at this, as we study it, as we pay attention to the words of your scripture, Lord, may we be faithful and accurate in our listening, faithful and accurate in our understanding, and may we be faithful to communicate it to others accurately. We know that your Holy Spirit is here. Please lead us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the years, we've had a program here. It's a program, but it's a program to help focus. For a number of years, we were doing this on Wednesday nights to focus the lives, the understanding of children. And that was children up through sixth grade, on the Word of God. And the program that we used all over the country and probably in many parts of the world was the Awana program, AWANA. Now, Susanna, if you looked at what I wrote here, you realize I got it wrong, didn't I? I said Awana stands for, and this is in bold print in your notes, "A workman approved is not ashamed." I believe that was a little less than accurate. It should be, "Approved workmen are not ashamed." Approved workmen, same thing, but I blew it. And if you're a person of detail, I think my wife caught me on this after it went to print. So be it. But this has been a training tool as children memorized verses. Now, they did it to earn badges. I was told by a couple of my grandchildren yesterday, "That was really cool. We really liked that program. You know, that was the one where we got the vests and then we got awards for just like scouting." And we didn't do that just because it would be cool for kids. We did it so that they would actually be in God's word and learning to love it and listen to it and pay attention to it. I remember one time when a youngster from China came here, and he and a number of students came to be in our Christian school, Whittier Christian Schools, and they lived in various homes, and we had one, his name was Bill, that lived in our house. Now, I don't think any of these kids that came over here to observe our Christian education, I don't think any of them knew the Lord. But Bill went with us, came up to church one Wednesday night, and he came home and he said, "Miss Susanna gave me a pencil for memorizing a verse." And to this day, this just absolutely thrills my heart. I said, so what's the verse? And he said, he just said this, so it was in such a cadence that it really caught my attention. Like, yeah, that's wonderful. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Over the next few nights at the dinner table, I quizzed Bill. Can you say that again? It was the same kind of cadence. Come to me, all you who are weary and, what is it? Burdened. Wow. And I will give you rest. You know, this wasn't just a cool kids program. It really was. I mean, it was neat. But it was all based on this verse to a young adult. Paul wrote this probably just maybe days or weeks before he lost his head to Rome. And it was, but he had a message for Timothy, this young follower of Christ. And he kept talking to him about the serious work that he would be involved in throughout his life, representing Christ as Paul had been. It's like he was handing the mantle to his child in the faith. And you know what's really amazing is that we all, even though we aren't all called to be pastors, we aren't all called to be teachers, we are all called as followers of Christ to, wherever we are, to encourage other people to become followers of Christ. It's called making disciples. Jesus said, wherever you end up going, wherever you are, make disciples, followers of me. We could put lots of parentheses behind this because there's no other way. I didn't come to just to be some sort of martyr. I came to be the savior of the world. And regardless of what religious faith you were brought up under, every single person on the face of this earth, whoever takes in breath, has to come to the point where they, and I just read this morning, where they realize, I'm a sinner and I'm in desperate need of a Savior. Because one day I'll stand before God and I'll have to give an account for my life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then there comes the judgment. Then the judgment. So will God say to me, welcome to my heaven. You trusted me while you were living. You trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. There is no other way. And those who can't say that they, who know they never really trusted him. I was able to speak at a funeral this on Friday, of a woman that I didn't know, but I understand that one of the ladies that comes to our Women's Missionary Fellowship invited her, this older lady in her 80s, to a Christian women's club. And there at the Christian women's club, she invited Christ into her life as her Savior. She made plans to physically die and to be buried up at Rose Hills, but she made her final plans to die when she invited Christ into her life. So Paul writes to this, he's talking to Timothy, young Timothy, about the gospel. What's the gospel? It is the good news about salvation that is in Christ. And he says once again, verses 14 and 15, Keep reminding them of these things. Who's the them? Who's the them? Well, if you, you know, this is in a context. So you got to go back to the same chapter, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus, of Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to reliable men, reliable people, who will also be qualified to teach others, who will be able to help other people understand that there is only one way, and that is by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remind them of what things? Let's just take a few, look back. We're in 1 Timothy now. Now 1 Timothy. Turn back to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Remind them of what? Keep reminding them of these things. Verse 3, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines, anything false, and don't teach that these things any longer. He's a young man. He's got to go in and tell people older than himself, stop teaching this stuff. It's wrong. You're leading people astray. You're leading them away from Jesus, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, all sorts of myths about apparitions of Jesus or apparitions of the saints. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. Same chapter, verses 18 and 19. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight. This is not going to be easy. Holding on to the faith, a faith in a good conscience. Some have rejected these things and so have shipwrecked their faith. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Once again, deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as if with a hot iron. Verse 6, chapter 4. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses, well, let's go 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He is has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk. Paul keeps repeating a theme. Don't get caught up in controversies. Stop it. Stop it. You know what these controversies were? They were smoke screens. Have you ever run into somebody that's, oh, you know, you're talking about that. Oh, now what about, well, you're kind of a conservative person, right? What do you believe about Trump? Are you kidding? We're talking about Jesus. No man, no other man is going to do anything for you. Come on. We're not going to argue about these things. Don't wrangle about words. He says, warn them before God against quarreling about words. Oh, you know, what about Black Lives Matter? You know, it's not that black lives don't matter. It's a smokescreen to keep people from talking about whom? About Jesus. I remember a time not too long ago when And it could be all sorts of social issues, gender issues. All of a sudden, we're sidetracked and we're steering away from Jesus. We're steering away from him. We had a friend that was a part of our, he was part of our lives. And one of our missionaries, Tom Ward, who ministered very effectively with Muslims, he met Mehdi. And Mehdi came to our church a number of times, and we went out to eat with, Marilyn and I went out to have dinner with Mehdi many times. And some of the other people in our congregation, we were happy to get to know Mehdi and hear about growing up in Iran and growing up in this Persian history. It was really, really wonderfully interesting times. And he had actually, I was so impressed, he'd read a book entitled Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. Really a solid, solid study. Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. But, you know, Lord, the Lord's working with him. And I think that there were some times in our conversations, this guy who was looking, there were times he also wanted to talk about politics. And man, it just seemed like way too often we got sucked into and we let ourselves be sucked into talking about some of the political issues that he wanted to talk about. And it was a smokescreen to keep us from talking about Jesus. Well, what do you think about predestination? Well, predestination is a really real thing. God choosing people is a real thing. But that's so confusing to me. You know, I think I need to resolve this issue in my mind before I can move forward. No, the question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Listen to these words. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is a rest that is promised throughout God's word. It is a rest that is solidified so I don't have to wonder where I stand with God if I know Jesus. The question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Don't get suckered in by some smokescreen zone. Well, they've got questions. Is it steering you away from Jesus? Is it steering you away from talking about, as I read in the closing chapters of the gospel, even this morning, what Jesus said was, you need to repent of your sins and turn to me. Stay focused. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. You know, once again, those issues, those words are all over the place. If you look at your questions, just look on the back of your notes. It's question number 3. How do you feel when a friend cuts you off for stepping into some smokescreen zone to talk about anything? Oh, nuts! We had a chance to focus on Jesus. Our friend loved that book. He loved that book. And he had questions about that book. Well, that we would have only stayed focused more. And even still hoping we have time to talk to him again now that he's teaching often in Boston at a university. Verse 15. 2 Timothy once again. Do your best to present yourselves before God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who accurately handles the word of truth. Be diligent. Be diligent. The word means to be zealous, to be focused. It means to be persistent. It means to for a teacher or a friend or a parent. Parents need to be persistent giving maximum effort to imparting the truth of God's word clearly and unambiguously, accurately. The word for, the Greek word for accurately handling this is, it's a word that from which we get the word orthopedics. Get it straight. You're not in such good shape if your leg is broken. One of our grandchildren this last year broke his femur. The femur, this massive thigh bone. Just a little guy, 4 years old. We saw the pictures that were sent to us by mom and dad. Man, it looked ugly, really ugly, as this bone was kind of like this. Muscles pulling, muscles, young muscles nonetheless, but they're pulling in different directions and tearing flesh. The objective was to get that bone straight. Get it straight. The root of this word, accurately handling the word of truth, is it meant to be in a straight line. It would be something that would apply to a bricklayer. We had a guy do some brick work in our in front of our house on our chimney, and apparently this guy had never done brickwork. We found out afterwards. He must not have used a line. He just kept on stepping back and eyeballing it. And we were on vacation when it happened. And for a while we had a hedge just covering it up. But now we can look at it all the time. Yeah, get it straight. Have you ever wondered about this word would have been used to somebody about plowing a field? I remember looking out at fields in Amish country out in Pennsylvania, and we'd see plowing behind a couple of horses, and they're just working the plow from the back down a long, long row as they just go right through that line. And I'm wondering, how in the world do they keep that straight? They didn't lay a line out. They just looked at a target way out there, and they kept their eye on the target and just kept on going. It's straight. Get it straight. And Paul's reminding Timothy, you want to be someone who's able to stand before God, to stand before God and say, Lord, your word was of extreme importance to me. And all I wanted to do in front of the people that were on my path was to get the word straight. I didn't want to be deviated to this side or that side. What do you think about paying taxes? Just like Jesus said, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? Whose image is on it? Well, Caesar's. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. He didn't get into any argument with them. They wanted to trap him in an argument. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Give him what he wants, your life. Taxes? Give Caesar what he requires. Don't get sidetracked. Don't be sucked in by a smokescreen. Get it straight. Get it right accurately as to what the word says. How many of your convictions are based, really, spiritual convictions are based solely on the word of God? When we ask questions that you see on the back of your bulletin, are your answers applications of what you got straight. Always return to the Word of God so that you know you understand what it says. I got the words here, these words correctly. I'm clearly understanding those words. If I don't understand a word, look it up in a dictionary. If that doesn't help you necessarily understand what the Bible is saying, then look it up in a Bible dictionary. Probably all of us as believers, get it straight if you want to stand approved before God. Stand alongside of Him, in front of Him, to say, Lord, I wanted to make sure I handled Your word accurately. Vine's expository dictionary sounds like a pretty detailed, that's kind of out of my range. No, it's not. Vine's expository dictionary is based on the King James Bible. You look up a word like approved, and you follow that to a definition of this specific word. And in many cases, it'll have the specific reference in the dictionary. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, understand what it says. And don't be saying, well, the way I look at that. One of the problems of Bible studies sometimes, even our own growth groups, can be that we might sit back and say, well, I think that might mean, no, know what it says and communicate what it says and then apply what it says. And then, as Jesus said, make disciples, followers of me, who do everything I commanded you. How do you stand approved before God? We do what He says. Sometimes, you know, we say, well, how do I know God's will? I've been praying for these things. Lord, show me Your will. A week ago, we talked about, over the last actually 2 weeks, we talked about how do I know that I'm listening to the voice of God? Well, get used to hearing His voice in His word, because He's not going to speak to us apart from His word. Well, should I take this job? Listen to Him. What's involved? It might be that job has a huge, you should be seeing the huge red flag over that job. It may be. And you know that from God's word as you say, don't get linked with those who are not, and I'm talking about linked together, not on the same page. Like, what would that be? Well, like one of my friends got involved in a partnership with somebody that was not a believer. And man, it cost him a lot. Money, huge amounts of emotional energy, reputation in the community. Don't get unequally yoked. Jesus said in that same chapter, in Matthew chapter 11, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Get under the yoke, pulling the plow. Get under that with Me and kind of walk along with Me. Walk along with Me in My word. Get used to listening to Me. You'll start to understand the rhythm of My truth. You'll start to understand how I respond to difficult questions. For all of you young people who might yet be married, same principle applies there. Listen to what God has to say. Don't be unequally yoked, because you might find yourself not pulling together with somebody, the person you marry, but way out of step. Not because the person is a bad person. You just have radically different radically different values that come, one of you from God's word and the other pulling very much against that truth. Repeated over and over and over again across the centuries, and at this moment as well. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, pulling the wrong direction, and who correctly handles the word of truth. I hope you have a good time this week in looking at the questions. I'm serious. And talk about them with somebody else, maybe in a restaurant, maybe in a small group, maybe with your spouse. How do you feel? This is a very personal question to me. Question number three. How do you feel when a friend cuts you off for stepping into a smokescreen issue, a smokescreen zone of fruitless quarreling, and away from the focus needs to be everyone needs Jesus? Heavenly Father, I pray that in these moments that you will have taught us, and in the moments and days ahead, you will continue to teach us to really focus and to accurately handle your word of truth, knowing that this is not some haphazard, it's not a haphazard claim to truth, that it's consistent over thousands of years. And it is because you designed it to be so. Remind us how important it is, Lord, to be very dependent upon the Holy Spirit to listen and study your word and represent it to family and friends and to those who don't know Christ. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today, and thank you for the faith that we find in your word and in your person. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.